Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice, where every morning, every day, Monday through Friday, we get to share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes that will get us to our best possible future. One that I believe, and I know my guest does, is a future that is close by. Our potential is greater than we know, and exciting things are coming around the corner for Tucson. So I'm excited, as always, to get to spend these two morning hours with you here between Wake Up Tucson and the Buckmaster Show. Is us, the Creative City Show, and is me, your host, Zach Yenser, along that journey. And I value each and every morning I'm in here the opportunity to curate and have these conversations with you. I want to let you know before we get going that we have a really fun conversation to kick us off, a fun local conversation. And I want to make sure that you know the phone lines are open to ask questions, anything from hours and directions to who's involved, what we're going to talk about and where it is. The phone lines are open for this fun community conversation. We hit on a lot of serious city topics on the show. We cover a lot of ground. Today, this morning, this 10 o'clock hour is just about supporting local and supporting local businesses in a really cool space in our city. So 790-2040 is the number that is available for you to call on and call in and be a guest in on this conversation with my guest that I will announce shortly. And then our 11 o'clock hour, looking forward to having John Winchester on to close us out, talking about the great work the YMCA is doing in Northwest Tucson. So we have a good community show lined up for you today. But to kick us off, we're going to talk about the Summer Night Market over at the MSA Annex with Christine Donnelly. You live in that area. You work in that area. You're supporting local. We're going to cover a lot of ground, I think, today. We're going to talk about the amazing space where this Summer Night Market is happening. By the way, this hour is for you Tucsonans who are planning to stick around for the summer. I had Dan Gibson on from Visit Tucson a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, in this city, we don't talk enough about what great summer events happen. We don't tell each other those stories. We don't tell out-of-towners those stories. He said something interesting. He said, no one is not going to New Orleans during the summer because it's 90 degrees and 90% humidity, right? You don't factor in the weather. You go to New Orleans because it's New Orleans. You go there because it's cool, because it's where you, not temperature cool, it's culturally cool. It's where you want to be. You go there because you're intentional about being there. He said, we should think about Tucson in the same way. Tucson has lots of great things to do, great places to go, great reasons to come and stay. We need to talk about that. And so this opportunity to talk about the Summer Night Market at the Mercado San Agustin Annex fits perfectly into that. And so without further ado, Christine Donnelly, thank you, first of all, for being so willing to jump on the air and talk with such short notice.
Oh, absolutely. I appreciate you having me, and I love the picture you're painting of Tucson. I'm right there with you. I absolutely love the city, and especially the west side. I spend most of my time living and working there, and definitely love that part of town.
That makes two of us. And we met yesterday over the phone, first time in person. But one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is what we're going to talk about today starts in May, in just a couple weeks. So timely conversation. Maybe first, let's keep painting the picture.
Sure.
This event, we'll get into the details of it and what it's about, but it's in a very specific part of town. And I want to make sure that anyone who hasn't gone over there or visited it before knows a little bit about where it is and what the story is behind it. So tell us a little bit about the MSA Annex, and we'll dig in from there.
Sure. So I guess we can't really talk about the MSA Annex without first mentioning the Mercado San Agustin.
So true.
I believe in 2008 they built that. It's been a staple in the community ever since. A bunch of local businesses have moved in and are thriving on the west side there. Just last year, we expanded our sister project. So the MSA Annex opened May 4th. So we just celebrated our first year anniversary. And it's just a continuation of platform for these local businesses and entrepreneurs. And a lot's been happening in the year since. So between the Mercado and then the MSA Annex, there are 28 businesses on site at all times.
Incredible.
So there's a lot going on. Yeah.
And all 28, I'm going through them in my head. All 28 are local, if
they
I'm not mistaken.
Are, which is really amazing. I think that's been a huge part of the integrity of the project is really providing this opportunity to showcase these local business owners.
Right. Absolutely. I work a lot in the community in different ways. And one of the stories that has popped up a lot is the old flycatcher, right? And the work that the community has done to make sure that the new development going in there will incorporate local. And I only bring that up because I think it highlights really the really valuable work that the Gadsden Company has done to make sure that the new development happening on the west side is as local as I think it possibly can be. I mean, it's 100% local. That's as local mm-hmm. as you can be. And that's something that we shouldn't skim over and that I certainly appreciate as a resident of the West Side. And, you know, I will personally do whatever I can to support that staying local because so much local innovation has happened there on the West Side. We have a 4,000-year history of that happening, and we need that on the West Side. So I applaud the effort.
Well, thank you. They have definitely been very careful and conscious while creating these hubs. Mm-hmm. I think the West Side was kind of in a sleepy little slumber for so long, and it's really nice to have that streetcar move in and kind of allow business to grow along that route and really kind of map out and branch out in a different direction. And it's been a bunch of fun.
Yeah. And on that note, the MSA, Mercado San Agustin, mm-hmm. and the Annex is important in that way. You mentioned the streetcar. It's the westernmost stop. So that's as far west as it goes currently.
Absolutely. And we're fortunate enough to have two stops within the district, one south on Cushing right by the Annex, and then another located right mm-hmm. by the Mercado. So it really couldn't be more convenient to hop on there. And we're always working with Sunlink and our partners in the different districts to kind of cross promote and talk about things that are going on in different parts of the city and how we can work together to encourage that safe, responsible riding.
Absolutely. I know we're building towards the actual summer night market events, but just to keep tying it together, sure. we're the kind of the mothership there, the Mercado San Agustin, and the sister project, the Annex, are on Avenida del Convento.
Correct.
Between Congress and Cushing.
Yes.
So you head to the Congress exit on the 10. You head west, and about a block or two west are both of these developments.
Yes, and there's more development happening. So when we say this term Mercado District, I think it's going to really start to take shape over the next few years as some additional projects are built. Under construction right now, we have the Monier building. It's 122 units of apartments with an underground parking garage, and there'll also be 12 additional retail spaces along Avenida. So once that's open, it'll really link the Mercado to the Annex in a new, really cohesive way, and we're all looking forward to kind of uniting those spaces and further growing the district concept.
Totally. If you're just joining us, you are in the middle of my conversation with Christine Donnelly from the Mercado District, the Gadsden Company, talking about the summer night market that will kick off on the last Friday of this month through September, and we'll get into that. If you've never been to the Mercado San Agustin, you've never been to the Annex, definitely check it out. Definitely come to this. We'll give you all the details here in a minute. But check it out over a weekend or on an evening after you get off of work. It's just off the highway. It's really easy from all parts of town, and it's a really cool space, which is the one thing I wanted to also talk about is I often tell people it's this really amazing shipping container complex, and they look at me like, well, that sounds awful. I'm just being honest. Like, this concept of a shipping container complex in Tucson, we haven't really seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Annex, and then now there's the box yard on 4th. But before both those projects, this is a new concept in Tucson. So explain that. It's unique, but it's also a little confusing at first. So what are shipping container buildings? It's crazy.
Well, yeah. So all of our shipping containers are recycled. They've traveled around the world, which is kind of fun. And then they were designed by local architect Paul Weiner and retrofitted by local companies here in town. So the aesthetic is certainly a little bit different than the box yard. I'd encourage you to check out both. But it's amazing to see kind of the variation between the two projects because they are very different. But if you check us out, you'll see our rustic finish. It's very austere. The aesthetic is very clean and tidy, which kind of still fits with the Spanish colonial style that we see over in the Mercado. But they're just they're designed to be different and dynamic and to really allow for different types of architecture to be showcased and on display in the district.
Super. Yeah, really cool space. I encourage you. I often tell this story. My dad was actually one of those people. I said, there's a shipping container, kind of, what do you call it? A shipping container? What's the word you use? Complex, I don't feel is the right word.
A shopping center.
There we go.
You know, it does feel a little bit underwhelming even with that. I feel like it's so much more because there is so much community action that takes place. I don't really think that does us justice.
I know. It's generally hard to pin down a word for what it is. There's about 13... You said 13,
yes.
13 companies that are there locally. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of I don't know the word, but it's shipping containers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Retrofitted shipping containers. It's a shopping center essentially. So, you know, it's all designed for you to come out and eat, drink, and shop on site. We've got our fabulous bar Westbound. That's a staple for everybody who's coming out, you know, for happy hour. But the fun thing about it is you can bring your drink and go and explore the whole space and kind of, you know, sit in different niches and enjoy the whole property. So it's definitely kind of fun to do a site visit and check it out and see for yourself what you can do with these shipping containers. It's pretty remarkable to see how innovative these store owners are and what they can do with 500 square feet. I mean,
it's incredible.
It's remarkable.
And when you walk into those spaces, it really is amazing to see what they've done, right? Because it sounds tiny.
Yeah.
And somehow the way you guys designed it and the way it's being used seems really big.
I think you gotta see it to
understand it, I think. Yeah.
It's true. I mean, I think Transit Cycles is a perfect example. They are just very creative with how they organize their bikes. I mean, they're full repair shop within 500 square feet. So it's amazing to see kind of their use of space and just getting creative with what they do and how they display merchandise and all of that.
Totally. Well, I'm going to give one more tease before we dive in full in the next segment. One of the great elements of the summer night market that will go from May through September at the Annex is that the shops and the Annex are going to be open later in the evening than usual to be able to have community interaction with the different shops and shop owners who are there. So let's finish this segment by talking about who is there. Right, we've talked, it's 13 local shops.
Sure.
What's the diversity of businesses and business owners that are there?
Yeah, I think there's a really good variety of services as well as goods, which is kind of fun because you can come to the center and essentially do more than one stop, you know. So we've got some food options there. Butte Burgers on site. It's your traditional burger joint, but with one major exception that no animals are harmed in the making of their food. So it's a vegan restaurant, and it's a really good choice for people who don't want to feel like their vegetarian or vegan option is sort of a side component, but it's actually the intention. It's, you know, carefully crafted just for them. At the end of February, our restaurant Kukai opened. So that's a fresh Japanese eatery, and they've really changed the scene since they've been on site. Turns out everybody shows up to eat. People want food. So we've been really enjoying everybody coming and tasting all of the unagiri, hand rolls, all the ramen that's on site there. Has been a lot of fun. I mentioned Transit Cycles and Westbound as well, but we have some retail spaces in there. Avenue Boutique, Dustin Heritage, Luke Orion, Now or Never. They're kind of your essential spots for gifts, for spoiling yourself or pampering someone else. Kind of exciting. We have our Hermosa coffee roasters
is
on site.
Yes, I saw that.
Yes, but they're also expanding. So within the next few weeks, they're going to be opening their Hermosa Cafe, and they'll have some grab and go items, paninis, baked goods, and things for you to kind of dine and dash in a hurry. So there's just a bunch of variety of things you can do. And I mentioned some of those services. So turntable and mesa, we have two awesome carpenters, and they're building furniture on site, and they have kind of different approaches to doing it, but share the space in a really collaborative way. And it's just pretty remarkable to see what they're all coming up with.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I have two friends who are starting kind of their retail experience there. And so it's almost kind of an incubator too, because you take Sace, for example, and Sace's second location, as I understand, came after their success at the Mercado. Mm-hmm. So there's, on accident almost, there's this little kind of incubator developing of these smaller scale shops. They're successful, they grow, and they move on in their business. It's really cool.
I think so. And there's definitely a lot of collaboration that I'm seeing between them and then, of course, other groups within the community. So tonight, for example, the Thirsty Thursday event at Westbound is a partnership with Fleet Feet. And I personally think they're all kind of gluttons for punishment, but they gather at Westbound and they go for a little 3 to 5 mile run and then come back and enjoy a dollar off pints. So, to see these businesses also branching out into the community and creating events on site has been really fun.
That's awesome. Well, I think that sets us up for us to dive into this May, June, July, August, and September, this 5-month series called the Summer Night Market, where people can come to this amazing space, talk about where it is and what it's about, meet these amazing businesses, and have some food and fun and music and all that around it. That's where I want to go when we come back, talking about what's going to happen, what will be happening the different nights, give people something to plan for, and to make sure that they plug these dates and these events into their calendar.
Wonderful. Let's do it.
Awesome. Christine Donnelly is my guest in the studio today from the Mercado San Agustin and Annex over on the west side of Tucson, talking about the Summer Night Market happening the last Friday of the month, May through September. If you are staying in Tucson, this is a celebration of you, because you're here and you should celebrate Tucson and celebrate our local businesses who are making it happen in all parts of town during the summer. It's a great way to start planning your summer calendar as the weather heats up and as our students graduate and head out. We kind of, I think, pivot as a city and start thinking about our summer. That's what we're doing today here on the Creative City Show. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Come on back for part two of my conversation with Christine here in the studio. Tucson, welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us here on 1030 The Voice. As these 2 hours of the day, 10A to 12P, we get to share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And like I said to begin the first segment, we cover a lot of heavy topics. We talk about everything from housing affordability to economic development to water and sustainability. I mean, we really focus on some really great city themes that are important. But I'll often get this feedback of Zach, let's have some fun on the show and talk about something fun. And I have listened, Tucson, and I have answered that call with my guest in the studio today, Christine Donnelly, here to talk about Summer Night Market. And Tucson, this is very especially for you. If you are in town this summer, anytime between May through September, I'm going to frame it like this. This is a celebration of you, Tucson, because you are here. You're sticking out the 115 degree heat. You are a Tucsonan January through December. And so the folks over at the Mercado District have put together an amazing Summer Night Market series for you, where you get to also support and check out some really great local businesses. I can't overemphasize that enough. We talked about all of that in the first segment. If you missed it, go to kvoi.com/podcasts in about 24 hours and check out that first segment. But the time has come now. Tell us about the Summer Night Market. What can we expect? What's going to happen? When is it? All that good stuff.
Awesome. So one of the ways we're trying to beat the heat is by hosting this summer night market. It kicks off at 6 on the last Friday of the month from May through September. It goes all the way to 10. So once the sun goes down, the party kind of really starts. We've got DJ Herm that'll be on site, and he'll be playing beats for us, getting everyone dancing. You mentioned that all of our businesses, resident businesses, will be open late and extending their hours, so you can check them out for the first time or visit them again. In addition to them being on site, we also have vendors from around the city, artists, makers, collectors, all on site with their products, services, ready to kind of introduce themselves to you and showcase their work. It's going to be a lot of fun. Another component to the night market this year, we're starting an artist spotlight kind of pilot program. So we're collaborating with local artists to create installations on site. And it'll be a sort of a visit every month. They'll be on site and you can come check them out, and you'll want to see them before one installation goes down and the next one comes up.
Oh, cool.
So we have our first installation in May is going to be from an artist group called A Curse and a Blessing. And they're going to be working on some projections onto the containers themselves. So it'll just kind of give new life and depth to the shipping containers and a new element. And I encourage everyone to come and see them.
Wow. That's very cool. Do you have any of the other artist installations that you're able to talk about? Or is that kind of...
You're going to
keep that as a tease.
You know, I do kind of want to tease you about that.
Okay.
We do want to kind of leave it a little bit mysterious,
for sure.
But we're also looking for additional artists to participate. So if you are interested in submitting a proposal to participate and have a concept, we're looking for all sorts of things. Murals on windows, projections, physical installations, a variety of different things. So we definitely want to engage with the community and get different members involved.
Very cool. You mentioned something that the shops are going to be open later. I know the different shops get to kind of set their own time. That's a very unique element of this event that normally isn't happening. So when are the shops maybe on average usually open and close?
Sure. So most of the retail spaces open at 11. It's pretty quiet on Mondays. A lot of them are closed on Mondays. And then we've got our coffee that opens, I think, at 7 a.m. every day. So traditionally, everyone's shutting down around 6. So this is kind of that fun extension that gives you a chance to maybe get over after work and go visit and just kind of make a night of it.
Very cool. Man, that's exciting. What else do you have to tell me about this? We covered a lot of ground. I want to make sure that we cover everything that you want to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I just can't stress how much fun it's going to be. We're going to have food trucks out there. The music's going to be a lot of fun. The art components. If you or somebody you know is interested in vending with us and selling items, whether it's art, vintage clothing, jewelry, apothecary, vinyl, whatever it may be, you can always reach out to me at Christine@MercadoSanAugustine.com and get me some more information so we can showcase your work and kind of put you on display as well. This really is designed to support local business and entrepreneurs during the slow summer season. It's a tough time for businesses to kind of thrive, and we want to create opportunities for them to make the most of the summer and, as you mentioned, kind of give these local residents who stay behind and choose to stick out the heat and stay with us, give them a chance to do something fun. And with this happening on a regular basis, you know, the last Friday of the month, we really hope that people can just get it into their monthly routine and bring out their families and their kids and just celebrate the night and the cool temps and enjoy themselves.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, if you're next to your calendar, let me see if I get this right.
Sure.
May 31st.
Yes.
June 28th, July 26th, August 30th, and September 27th are the last Fridays of those 5 months.
Yes, we will be there. So I'm excited to showcase what the Annex looks like on a regular basis, but then also kind of what it looks like when it's activated with these additional elements on site. So it just kind of makes it even more dynamic of a marketplace.
Absolutely. And this is a good time to also stress something interesting about the greater Tucson area is that 40% of people who are here, we'll say October through May, leave during the summer. So our city actually goes from about 1 million in the metro area down to 600,000. So 40% of our residents actually are leaving, whether that's the student population or maybe an older couples who are retired who maybe have a summer home somewhere. 40% of our city
that's
leaves.
Wild.
And it makes it really hard on businesses. I'm sure you know better than many of us. It's just a hard time for local businesses especially.
I think so. Fortunately for us, we have a lot of really creative minds working to generate opportunities for special events and collaborations within the community to just add a little bit of depth there. For example, DIRT, I know they're hosting, they were doing like a pop-up ceram assist in their store. So they invited an out-of-town guest who can come and showcase their work on site and just have another invitation to the community to come out and check out the store, not just for what it is on a daily basis, but also when it includes visitors and guests. So
absolutely. Great segue to one of my last questions that I wanted to make sure we covered. Social media and website, where can folks go to find out both information about this event if they're driving or working and they weren't able to take pen to paper
sure.
on what we're talking about? But then also, as you just said, not just these nights, but all nights throughout the summer. How do people find out about these themes that you mentioned?
Absolutely. Well, you should certainly visit us on our website. It's mercadodistrict.com. And if you're looking for information on specific events, it'll just be mercadodistrict.com/events. I would also encourage you to check out our social media pages. So the Mercado San Augustine page on Facebook or Instagram, as well as the MSA Annex page, has a lot of up-to-date information about what we can see. For example, these summer night markets, they'll kind of showcase and spotlight the vendors that'll be there and give you information about the food trucks that'll be on site and kind of some of those specific things as those details evolve and shift throughout the season.
Great. Sounds good. And then there's also a place where the individual businesses can, is there a link to the individual businesses?
There is. Or? So right on that same website, it shows all 28 businesses on site. You can click on any one of them to learn more, find out their hours or visit their individual websites.
Wonderful. Well, Christine Donnelly, thank you for the coming on and sharing about this event. We've been talking about, if you're just joining us on the air here, talking about the Summer Night Market series, I'm going to call it, from May through September. It's a 5-month series. On the last Friday of the month, the annex over there in the Mercado District is going to be showcasing the space, showcasing the businesses, opening up a really creative and fun environment for families and everybody to come and meet some great businesses, to see this amazing shipping container space on the west side of Tucson, May through September, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on those Fridays. And once again, let's support our local businesses. And this is a very specific way to do that. The Mercado and the Annex are at the corner of Avenida del Convento and Congress and Cushing, kind of spans Avenida del Convento just on the west side of Congress. Hit the Congress exit and go west about a block, and you can't miss the Mercado San Agustin. It's on the building.
Nor would you want to.
Nor would you want to. I'm saying you can't physically miss it. You can't miss it.
Yes,
it's right there.
If you've gone to Grande, you've gone too far.
If you've gone to Grande, you've gone too far. You're getting closer to St. Mary's Hospital, but you're not closer to the Mercado. Thank you again. This
Absolutely.
Has been great. I'm excited to be able to attend these and to come. Thanks for all the effort you've put into it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Appreciate the space over there, and let's do this again.
Awesome. Sounds great.
Wonderful. Tucson, that does it for the Summer Night Market here on the show. When we come back from the break, we've got more Tucson to talk about, and then we are winding up for the 11 o'clock hour when John Winchester is going to actually come into the studio and talk about the great work that the YMCA is doing in the northwest side of Tucson. Then we're closing in on our Friday program. Can't wait to tell you about it tomorrow. I am really excited how we're going to close out the week, so stay tuned. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson, welcome on back to the show here on 1030 The Voice. Thanks for hanging out with us. We We just said adios to our friend Christine Donnelly from the Mercado District, talking about one way that you can spend your summer in Tucson every last Friday of the month, beginning May through September, from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. We were talking about the Summer Nights Market over there at the district, where you can meet the small businesses that are over there. There's artists, there's food, there's great spaces over there. Definitely go check it out. One thing that I like about the west side of town is that you get kind of that fun downtown feel, but you don't have to necessarily enter into downtown, which I know is still in many ways confusing and a little bit hard to get to. The west side makes it easy. You take a right-hand turn if you're coming from the north, or a left-hand turn if you're coming from the south, and you head west on Congress and you make it to the west side. So definitely go and to go and check it out. I'm curious to see who maybe here in the station has been there. I know Christy, Simone, and I are going to head over there at some point. I'm wondering if Bob has made it to that shipping container. I keep calling it complex because I have no other better word for it. But they take these shipping containers, they rust them in a really beautiful way. It's like an artificial rusting process. It's 500 square feet. There's 13 businesses over there, and it's amazing what they do with those spaces. It's right next to the Caterpillar building, actually. So you've got the annex, you've got the streetcar, and on the other side of Cushing, you have Caterpillar. Have you been there before, Bob?
I have not. 500 square feet?
500 square feet is what each business is. Yeah.
Fantastic. And then they plumb it for restrooms or running water, or they have a central restroom, or they have electricity. Tell me more.
They do. They have electricity. They have a kind of a complex bathroom. There's not a bathroom in each one. I think one, there is a coffee place over there, so they're probably plumbed for water. There's also Westbound. It's a kind of a bar there. And then they also have a food place. I think some of the shops are plumbed for water. But yeah, it's an amazing space.
13 of them. And 13. They're at what percentage are they all booked up?
They are.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I believe so. And they just brought this Japanese food place in, and I hear that's going bonkers. Yeah, it's a really cool space. Like I said, my dad, in a fun way, was kind of like, what the heck is this shipping container stuff about? He had a completely different vision in his mind, and he was really impressed. So
I've heard of the idea. I didn't know, you know, it had made it here.
Yes, it has.
We've arrived.
We have arrived. And then there's another one. Christine says it's completely different. I haven't been yet. It's the Box Yard on 4th, and that's kind of a shipping container concept as well. And that one just got finished. I remember 3 or 4 years ago reading about it going in Tucson, and it just finally made it. But yeah, that conversation fit in with my interview with Dan Gibson, talking about what Visit Tucson is doing to encourage hanging out and doing cool, fun things in the summer in Tucson. I was amazed to find out that 40% of Tucson's population leaves during the summer. That's a staggering amount. I mean, it's...
Say that again.
40% of Tucson's metro population leaves in the summer.
We go at some point, you mean?
At some point. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not fair to say.
Not for the whole summer. Because if three-quarters of us are in poverty, I don't think half of that amount is going to San Diego for the summer, or even Mexico. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't... I've heard 80% of all statistics are made up on the spot anyway. So who am I to argue with you, Mr. Why?
Well, you actually make a really good point, and I'm questioning that too. The statistic I read, I pretty clearly remember that our population overall shrinks from 1 million to 600,000 during the summer, which says to me that it's you know, not necessarily on and off, but I think it's students, it's kind of if you're maybe retired or you have multiple homes. I mean, I even know there's groups in the city that won't even meet during the summer because half the membership or half the board or whatever are gone during the summer. They just pick up and leave. It's such an interesting dynamic in the city. So you've given me homework, but that's the stat I heard. That maybe that's one of the 80%.
I would say almost half of us go on a vacation to some degree during the summer would be my assessment of that.
Yeah. Well, either way,
we should stay here. Is that where you're going? I'm so sorry.
No, not at all. I said either way, whatever that looks like, it's hard to deny that it's really hard on local business during the summer. In Tucson. As I mentioned before on the show, I was in management for a small local business here in Tucson. And I got to tell you, and I'm not exaggerating, small businesses hold their breath June through September. There's just no other way to say it. And I'm saying it in all seriousness, in that Tucson really relies on full-time residents or residents who are here on and off to really sew into small business because it's just so difficult. I mean, I'm just talking from a profit and loss statement level. You look at the P&Ls between October, November, December, and June, July, August. It's like you're looking at two different businesses. I kid you not. And it's just a time where we really need to support our local businesses in a special way.
And if we can support them anytime during the year, especially because then if we don't like shopping in the summer, then we can just shop a little harder with whoever they are in March, because that's what we used to do is we used to set our money aside so we could make it through the summer.
Oh,
so as long as our customers could visit us sometime during the year, then because we knew the summer was going to be tough.
Right.
Our employees knew that, you know, they knew it ahead of time.
And right.
Try to keep most of your people as busy as possible, but they knew at some point it was going to slow down.
It was going to slow down. That's interesting you brought that up, because I was going to ask you. You are our resident native here on the show. You've been here many a summer. What are some things that you found enjoyable during the summer here in Tucson, or you know, ways that we can continue keeping things rolling even though there's so many less people here during the summer.
I don't know. I think there are the places that we forget about sometimes because not all of our relatives come visit us in the summer, but it's a great time to still, you know, just get up a little earlier and go see the Desert Museum or wherever you want to check out. I mean, we still like visiting Hungry Fox or, you know, our little local love places. And it's a little warm, but without the warmth of the summer, you wouldn't get our really cool monsoons.
That's right. That's right. You know, one of the things that I would pitch is back to Dan Gibson's point from Visit Tucson. I think the symbology for me of summer in Tucson is 4th Avenue. Mm. In the sense, if you drive down 4th Ave during the summer, you can go the entire way, no stoplights in 2 minutes, you know, because it's just the students aren't there, you know, whatever the case may be. And to me, it's just symbolic of the fact that Tucsonans can actually enjoy their city a little bit more during the summer because the roads thin out, there's less people, the pace is slower, so on and so forth. And I mean, I would just say that that's an encouragement is get up a little earlier, go out a little earlier, and enjoy your city. Like we talked about with the summer nights market over at the Mercado in the first two segments of the show, innovative ways to engage with the community during the summer.
I wonder what the Valley of the Sun, what kind of statistics they enjoy as far as them swelling and going down. Because I was going to say, you know, I don't think they can enjoy that quite as much as we do up north, the town thinning out, you know, from 7 million to 5 million.
I highly doubt it.
Right.
I heard an interesting statistic. Back to statistics, that by 2050, 90% of the world's landmass will be a Phoenix suburb. But Should have had that drum roll queued up there there for you, Bob. But
I was very suspicious, but you look so serious.
Now that's one of the 80% of statistics that are made up is that one. But to your point, I think when you live in Phoenix, you feel that way. I think you feel that maybe in 10 years, there was this article that came out. I might try to find it over the break and talk about it in the next hour. It had a lot of my friends going, it was this article that pretty soon, I mean, Phoenix may come further enough south and Tucson may come far enough north that it's just like, you know.
Forget Tucson. San Diego will be a
That's right. We just got to talk about
suburb.
Casa Grande, you know. Like
exactly.
You get up to there first. My wife and I, when we were looking to move, we almost moved to, we were very serious about looking at Red Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And which feels a million miles away still now. But yeah, it's getting up there. It's getting up there. it's getting up there. Any summer plans, Bob?
Yes, we are going to a family reunion this summer with all the older DOs and the younger DOs in New York. And then we are going to the historic DO house in New Paltz, New York. Yes, you can Google that and look it up. Some of the original French Huguenots that came to the United States back in the 1600s. So we're going to go.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know.
That's cool.
How does my kids put it? Visit old places where old dead people live. They have some geeky way of saying it. But anyway, yeah, we're looking forward to spending some quality summertime with cousins we remember and don't.
Super. Yeah, and you speaking of that, a lot of that can be done in Tucson too. Lots of history here.
I would love to get them all here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you going to be able to get out at all with your little one?
Might take a Cali trip in June just to visit some family out there, but we'll be here.
Drive?
We'll drive. Yeah, that's easier with little kids. But my wife likes to go to both the Oro Valley and Downtown Children's Museum. I don't know. Have you ever taken?
Oh yeah, that's a great Saturday summer.
It's fantastic.
It's nice and cold. You don't have to worry about cooling your house down. Right. Yeah, she's smart.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a fantastic space. I am in summer mode today, pitching and talking about different ways to enjoy the summer in Tucson. Enjoy your city while it's a little bit less crowded. You know, it's funny even
while the invasion is off.
Well, yes. while the invasion is off. Yeah, we love our U of A students, but it is a different feel in the city. I also know a lot of, I mean, my church does this, and a lot of businesses do this. They take the summer as kind of a strategic reset or kind of a team,
right.
A team building. That's an interesting dynamic in Tucson. It's kind of like our winter on the East Coast is like the summer in Tucson.
It's when you clean up all your equipment and everything, which
That's
is
it.
What they do.
That's it.
Back east, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of in between, like the fast pace of the spring and then the fast paced fall of the year. And but you know, this will be my last comment before we head to the 11 o'clock hour. One of the dynamics I think has a huge impact in Tucson. I say this on a serious note, is I really think in the city we accidentally give up half of our year. In the sense that I'd be curious to get your thoughts on this. And if you're listening, you have a thought I'm about to say, would love to get a call from you. We kind of check out a bit during the summer, but then I've also found that we kind of check out after Thanksgiving, right? So like the last 6 weeks of the year, it is so hard to get anything done in Tucson, which is probably not a Tucson thing. That's not a Tucson thing. But then, you know, May through September is this kind of slower pace in the city. And you tally all that up, you're getting up to 5-6 months of the year where the pace is slower and things aren't happening as much. And I've often wondered when it comes to anything from community advocacy to economic development to decisions in the city, whatever the case may be, we give a lot of time up. You know, board meetings don't happen. Companies take time off. Businesses shut down. Speaking of small businesses, I know small businesses that shut the doors. They're not even open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the one or two, you know, often shop kind of mom and pop shops. But I'll just say we lose money staying open. We just stay closed. you know?
Especially those businesses that decide to serve some sort of hot liquid, let's say, hypothetically, all year long.
Well, if you haven't tried cold brew, Bob, or anyone listening...
I love iced coffee.
Iced coffee is amazing. There's a couple places in town that serve cold brew, which is kind of this ice...
What's the difference between iced coffee and cold brew?
I've often found iced coffee just to be hot coffee thrown over ice sometimes. Mm-hmm. But cold brew is... there's two different methods of... so like what I like is an ice drip brew, cold brew. So it's a Japanese method of making coffee. It looks like you got a still in your house, which is kind of entertaining, but it's, you've got ice up at the top and it's dripping cold ice water through kind of a funnel, and it is soaking into about a pound of grounds in the middle. And then the concentrate that comes out is this really smooth, unbitter coffee that you can put over ice. We have
you are a serious coffee drinker. Wow.
We have it in Tucson. Once you go to the light side, you can never go back to the dark side is the problem. Once you've had really good coffee, it makes it hard to go back. And then just about every coffee shop, whether it's Starbucks or a local one, will do what's called like a toddy.
Like this place over here will do that? What you're talking about?
Yeah.
This little coffee? Well, I'm pointing the wrong way that way, right?
Yeah, yeah. As long as you're not pointing to QT. I'm just kidding. The QT up the road from us. No.
No, I meant the coffee place here. I forget the name of it in the complex here. Did you know there's a coffee place?
Presta. Presta and Hermosa.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Mercado San Agustin has Presta. The Annex has Hermosa. And I know for sure Presta does like the toddy version. What's called a toddy version of iced coffee, where you basically have grounds kind of sitting in this kind of tub over like a 12 to 16 hour period, and it just creates kind of like a almost like a cold Americano type of taste. It's more of a bottom up.
What is it with these coffee people and bootleggers?
It is an art. I definitely encourage anyone listening to check out the specialty coffee
market
in Tucson. Some really cool things happening. And it's cold. You don't have to have hot coffee. You can have cold coffee during the summer. So there is our summer preview promo. It was Summer in the City hour here on the Creative City Show, as it turned out, where we got to talk about some ideas for spending summer in Tucson, supporting local businesses, and specifically the summer night market happening over at the Mercado Annex. We had a great conversation in the first part of the hour with Christine Donnelly from over there. Definitely check it out. If you missed it, you can go to kvoi.com/podcast and check out our conversation over there. When we come back, another influencer conversation in the city. We will be back in the 11 o'clock hour for more here on the Creative City Show. We'll be right back.